there's a group we want to remember to be in prayer for during the message, that would be the group. We want to remember Robert and Jeanette and the helpers in that class as they lead our little guys. All right. Well, it is an exciting lineup that we have this fall. And as we see all the number of folks that have come up to the front and serve in different capacities within the church, it is exciting to see that God just lays on his heart, on the hearts of so many different people, that desire just to step forward and to serve. And in addition to just these, as I mentioned, we also have a ton of other people in the church that serve in different capacities. We have deacons serving, we have board members serving, we have trustees serving, we have ushers serving. We sent around the sign-up sheet for church cleaning. It's those folks that are serving. There's people that take care of our yard, people that serve doing our sign. There's people that have served doing VBS. Ladies ministry, the church is just filled with people that serve. And it is kind of interesting as we look at the body here. We might say, well, this is a small church. But if you were to actually single everybody out and say, who actually takes some of those responsibilities on, it really does take the whole church to make it work. And there's a huge need and privilege to be able to serve within the church. So this morning I thought it would be a good time to kick off a message series that talks about what it means to be part of the church. So the message, the series that we're starting today is entitled Church Life. And I was kind of racking my brain a little bit about titling this message, because there's a number of things about the church that I think as a church we need to know. We need to know what it means to be a body of Christ. And so I was racking my brain, and I was talking to Kevin one day, and he goes, oh, he says, that's church life. There we go. So there's the title of my message. Kevin pulled that one out of his hat. Church life. So what does it mean to be part of the church? What does it mean to have church life, and not to differentiate church life from life in general? Right, so, but as a body of believers, what does it mean? As so many people go to church, but sometimes churches miss out on sharing the bigger story of why we are here, or what it means to be a part of this body. So over the next number of Sundays, I want to try to paint a portrait of the church from a biblical perspective to help us see who we are and why we are here, and what job that it is that we actually have to do here as a body of Christ. And so this morning, as we begin our launch for the fall activities, I want us to focus on one aspect of church life, and that aspect is serving, service. And so that's what we're going to look at a little bit today. In church life, there is a joy that comes in serving. So let's just open with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the way you draw us to yourself, and as you do that, Lord, you reveal within us those gifts and abilities and talents and opportunities for us to serve. And Father, we just give you thanks that there are opportunities, there are openings, there are all kinds of ways that we can come and serve you through your church that you have provided us. So we just lift you up, Lord, and we give you thanks that you call us and you give us a task to do. You give us responsibilities and a privilege that comes along with it when we serve. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, the first thing that I want to say is that there is blessing when it comes to serving. There is blessing when it comes to serving. And this is an absolute truth. And we're going to look this morning at a few of the blessings that come with serving. But I want to start by dispelling some of the misconceptions we have about serving in the church. Some of the misconceptions that we have. Misconception number one, you have to be someone special to serve. You have to be someone special. It has to be that person. It's not you. It's somebody else. That's a misconception that we have about serving. The Lord calls everyone from the most intelligent Pharisee who was converted, that's the Apostle Paul, to the most unscrupulous tax collector, that'd be Matthew, and he calls us to serve. So he can call the most intelligent, he can call the most corrupt, he can call anyone to come and serve. And it's not your degree that God is interested in, it's the degree that you are willing to invest with your heart that counts. So it's the degree that you're willing to invest with your heart that actually makes a difference as you serve. So it's not who you are, it's not that you're someone special, it's that you have a heart to serve the Lord that makes you qualified to serve. So misconception number two, if you serve, you can't have any problems in your life. If you serve the Lord, you can't have any problems in your life. I don't think that it was any mistake that God called Peter. And as we look in the Word, and if we were to do a study of the person of Peter, we'd find that Peter the apostle was just riddled with all kinds of failures and shortcomings. And I don't think it was any mistake that God chose Peter or called Peter, because many of us are like Peter, aren't we? We say things when we shouldn't. We have to do retractions. If we say we're sorry, we're like Peter. Peter had to say he was sorry. He had to repent. He had to turn around. Peter epitomizes the struggle of so many believers. He says things without thinking. He was a bit of a fighter. He had kind of that edge to him. Even though his knife was really short, he still cut off the ear of one of the servants, right? So he kind of had that feistiness to him. He was a bit of a fighter. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He was rebuked even by Jesus. Can you think about that for a minute? You got Jesus so mad that he rebuked you. So that's Peter, doing things that kind of mess up, so that even the Lord has to bring you back into correction. But yet he was also one of the Lord's closest friends. He was part of that inner circle, one of those ones that just absolutely loved the Lord, despite his shortcomings, despite how much trouble he ended up getting himself in at times. Peter was one of those people that had a ton of problems in his life, but yet he was a friend of the Lord's. And that is important for us to remember, because sometimes we think that we have to have everything in order, all the ducks have to be in a row, in order to serve or to do something for the Lord. The reality is there's only one thing. There's only one thing that is needed before we can serve the Lord, and that's that we've invited him to be Lord and Savior of our life. When we do that, when we invite him in, that is our qualification, that we are able to serve, that we're able to bring glory and honor to God, because we know why we are serving. We are serving because he has redeemed us. We are serving because he has saved us. So, misconception number two was that you have to have no problems in your life. And Peter demonstrates that the Lord calls all of us and grows us as we go. Misconception number three, a servant of Jesus will never have trouble. Will never have trouble. Now, if you believe that, I got some lakeshore property in Arizona for you. If you believe that a servant of Jesus will never have trouble in their life. You know, actually, it's the opposite, isn't it? The opposite is actually true. In many cases, you end up getting more trouble when you serve Jesus. You end up getting more issues come to the forefront. Sometimes it's like having a target on your back. If you are going to serve Jesus, if you love the Lord and you say, I'm going to serve him, it seems like there's sometimes a target. And that target is there for criticisms. Oh, you should have did this different. Or it's there, the target is there to critique. You should have did that better. Or that target is there just to add more pressure. Here's another responsibility. Since you're doing this anyway, I don't want to do it. You do it. You do it for us. And so sometimes serving makes us feel like there's a target on our back. There's going to be trouble in life when we serve. People are going to come and want answers. There can be a lot of pressure. But ironically, it's often through those struggles in life that we grow the most. It's often through those struggles in life that we see others, we can relate to others, and grow together. So servants are not exempt from hard times or having troubles. So those are three misconceptions. You don't have to be someone special. You don't have to get rid of all your problems, and you will never have any more problems if you serve the Lord. Those are three misconceptions that sometimes are out there about serving Jesus. Well, with those misconceptions in the back of our mind, let's look now at some of the blessings. There are so many blessings that come when we serve the Lord. So there's just a couple of them here this morning that I'm going to share with you that I think are key for us to understanding what servanthood is. So some of the blessings that come in serving. So blessing number one, serving allows us to experience God at work. Now, you remember that very first miracle of Jesus? This is in John chapter 2. So Jesus goes to the wedding, and mom says, "Jesus, we're out of wine. Can you do something about that, son?" And so here they're at the wedding feast, and they're out of wine. So Jesus says, sure, he says, okay, I'll do something. And he gets his servants, and they bring a bunch of water, and they fill these great big containers. I picture them like 45-gallon drums. But they fill these big containers with water. And so the servants come, and they fill them all up. And then Jesus turns that water into wine, so much so that it's said to him, why did they wait to bring the best of the wine out? They should have had that first. They would always do that. They'd bring the best of the wine out first, and then as people would have a little bit, they'd bring out the stuff that was maybe not so great. And they said, so why did you wait to bring it out? They recognized it as very good wine. So when the servants came, when the Lord performed that miracle, who was there to witness it? Who's there to witness it? The people that received the wine, well, they just saw it as new wine. But the ones that really received the blessings, the guests, they never really knew what happened. But the ones that really received the blessings were the servants. It was those people that were kind of behind the scenes. They were hauling the water in their buckets, and they were filling these big drums. They were the ones that witnessed the miracle. And the same is true when we serve the Lord. When we serve, we get involved in God's work, and he allows us to see what he is doing, and we're able to experience what it's doing. It's like a sport, like hockey. Rather than just knowing lots of stuff about the hockey, all the rules and all that kind of stuff, it's much better to play the sport. You can watch it on television, and that's great, but if you could play it, and that goes with any sport, anything, if you can see it happening, that's exciting. You can see it, but if you could actually do it, now that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you begin to engage and really get to know something. Experiencing God at work yourself with your own eyes, with your own set of stories that come with it, with your own senses alerted to what God is doing and reminded of those things even years after. That is a richness that comes only from doing. That's a richness that only comes from serving and from being involved. We can watch ministry happen, but far better is when we take it up and we join in to what God is doing. So serving allows us to experience God at work. It takes us off the shore, and it gets us into the flow of what God is doing and lets us experience God at work. Well, secondly, serving allows us to discover our spiritual gifts. And this is our key passage this morning, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14. The Apostle Paul here, he compares the church to a human body. And I'll read that passage in 1 Corinthians 12. And he compares the church to the body of Christ. And he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, it has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, and so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one spirit to drink. Even though the body is not, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so the Apostle Paul uses the body as an analogy, and he goes on to say the role of the hands and the eyes, that we can't all be one part. We're not all going to be the teachers up here. But there's going to be others that serve in different capacities within the church that allow the church to become a full and functioning body of Christ. We need toes. You know what happens? I found this out with our young fellow this summer. When you lose part of your toe, you actually lose your balance if you lose part of your big toe. And so we think, well, we don't really think much of it until you lose part of your big toe. And then you got to learn how to walk. And you go, well, gee, it was such a small little tidbit of part of our body. That's not a big important part like an arm. But yet it involves keeping us balanced when we stand or when we run. So the Lord needs all the parts of the body to make it work. Every believer has God-given gifting that is needed in the working of the church. We call them spiritual gifts, and we have ways to recognize them or test for them and the such. But the biggest thing really is just to affirm some of those spiritual giftings that God has given. Serving allows us to see a person living out some of that gifting and allows it to be affirmed. What is most important is that serving reveals how God has gifted you. Serving allows that to be revealed. People see what you do. They affirm what you do. They see God's hand in your life or giftedness or abilities in those areas. And they see how God has gifted you. So God helps you when you serve to discover how He has wired you. As you serve, you begin to see what your personality is like, what your temperament is like. Not everybody can be in that 3-to-grade 3 room. In fact, I think there's a lot of people here that are glad that they're not in that room this morning, right? But over here, there might be another area that really does work for us. And so serving allows us to discover where we fit, how God wants us to fit into His church. Serving allows us as well to develop those gifts. So as we serve in an area, sometimes we come alongside someone who has served for a long time. And as we do that, we glean from them how they approach different topics or how they approach different people or different difficulties or how they share their faith. Those things are all important in our own spiritual formation. And that's the blessing that comes in church life. We can discover how God has wired us and use those gifts to bring honor and glory to God right in the body of Christ. And as we do that, as we discover those spiritual gifts, as we develop those spiritual gifts, God is honored. So serving allows us that ability to discover our spiritual gifting. Well, serving is also a form of worship. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 says this, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms," and it goes on to say, "so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." Serving is a way to worship and express gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. Peace and joy are what come when we experience true worship. And likewise, serving is a form of worship. Serving then as a form of worship by its very nature, if it's worshipful, will bring peace and joy. I can't believe how many people after, as they have served for a little while in a particular area and they're suited for that area, they come out with a sense of fulfillment. That even though it might be hard, even though it's not convenient to serve, there's a sense of deep fulfillment within their hearts that they just know that what they are doing, that they are in the right place at the right time, that there is a sense of accomplishment to what they are involved in. And that sense of accomplishment brings a peace and a joy, a deep-rooted sense that God has called us for this particular time, for this particular season to serve. While serving also surrounds us with other believers. And there's nothing more rewarding than doing a good job together. When working side by side with other people, we tend to draw closer. We tend to care more about those around us, the team that we're on, the people that we serve with. And this is part of God's plan of how the church is supposed to work. That's why the Apostle Paul calls the church the body of Christ. That's why he makes that comparison, because we need each other to function properly. That's why in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, we see the instruction to spur one another onward toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. That instruction is given in Hebrews because that is how God intends us to grow together as the body of Christ. That is how God intends us to grow together as his church, as we come along together to serve him. So why do we serve? Why do we serve? We serve to experience what God is doing, to discover the spiritual gifting that he has put in our hearts, to find peace and joy as we worship. And serving brings us together as a body of Christ. This morning, church, I know the Lord that the Lord invites you to serve. From the simplest of tasks, maybe even the most menial of tasks, all the way to the ones that carry the heaviest load within the body of Christ, God calls us to serve. He calls us to be part of what he is doing. And he views every servant. And I want to be clear. So serving doesn't mean you have some position. Serving doesn't mean that you're that somebody in charge of a department. Serving can simply be that person who sees a need and desires to meet it. So there's a face that is downcast, somebody that is maybe struggling, and you just simply go alongside and say, "Hey, what's going on?" That is serving one another in the body of Christ. Being a listening ear is just as valid as leading a Sunday school or doing any of the other forms of serving that happen in the church. All of those things are needed. All of those positions, there's not one that isn't important in the eyes of the Lord and not one that isn't important in the body of Christ. So let me close with this. As our fall kicks off and our programs and such begin, I wonder if we can ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, I wonder if you'd be this bold. Ask the Lord where he needs you to serve. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a slotted position, but would you serve as someone who is just simply paying attention to the hearts of people in the church? Could you serve as someone who meets a need within the church, who comes alongside and says, "You know, I can do that. Why don't you let me help? Hey, I can show up this time and do that with you." You know, what if we were to ask that question, "Lord, where do you need me?" What do you think the Lord would say? Do you think he'd say, "No, you know what, maybe next year. Next year this time, for sure I've got something." And then you can go, "That's good, I'm out of it. I don't have to serve." But I wonder if we were to really ask with our hearts open and say, "Lord, I want to be involved in the work that you're doing here at East Olds. Put me where you need me. No matter what it takes, how that's going to get orchestrated, we can leave the Lord sort that out. But put me where you need me." And then as we pray that prayer, then go and serve as God reveals. Use your gifting as worship. You are a needed and valued and wanted part of the body of Christ. When we look at the church, every part is important. Where would the body be without all of its parts, without all of its people doing their portion, their part, contributing the gifts that God has given to have the body work? Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks this morning that each one is needed in an equally important role. And Father, this morning we give you thanks for the body of Christ here, where so many just simply step up, so many serve. In fact, all serve in some form or another. And Lord, this morning we ask that you'd just simply help us to recognize those spots that you would have us step forward into. Father, have us be attuned to your Spirit so that we would know where to where to be available at. And Lord, this morning, we especially pray for our different ministries that have started this fall, and we just ask that your anointing would be on them, that Lord, the ultimate would be that there would be spiritual growth in the hearts and minds of people this year. Father, for all of the other serving ministries within our church, we pray exactly that same prayer, that there would be a spiritual growth and a sense of purpose and a sense of belonging that would draw us together even closer as a body of Christ. Thank you for providing opportunities for us to serve. We pray these things in your name. Amen.